Hey, Forge, as we step into this podcast today, we're going to be covering topics of fasting, and there's many of us guys and girls who've struggled with body image, eating disorder, anorexia, bulimia, anything in that category. And if that is you, I would encourage you to talk with a leader, a parent, a mentor before taking any steps of fasting so that you are looking out for your mental and physical health as well as spiritual health.
Well, what's up, students? Glad that you are tuning in. We are mixing it up today, and we're going to come to the podcast studio and talk about prayer and fasting. And so if we haven't met, my name is Blake. I am part of our Pelham team, and I am here with Daniel Black and Audrey Williams. So I'm gonna let them introduce themselves, and then we'll jump in. Audrey, why don't you go first?
Yeah. Hi, Forge. I'm Audrey. I've probably met a lot of you. I work at the Pelham campus. Been here for, I guess, coming up on 6 years, working with high school girls, specifically our freshmen and sophomores. So shout out to y'all. And yeah, I'm coming back from maternity leave now, so I'm excited to be back.
Welcome back. Daniel.
What's up?
Who are you?
My name's Daniel Black. I serve as the campus pastor in the Dirtyburg. Out in Spartanburg. Been out there since 2018. Crazy, because not long ago, the three of us worked together. We shared an office.
We did.
All the time at Pelham Road. And then we went our separate ways, and the Lord has brought us back. So
here we are.
This is cool.
Shout out to Spartanburg. All good things come through Spartanburg, except Audrey.
That's right. Listen, I came on staff, and like 2 months later, Daniel left Pelham. So that was tough.
Yeah, you ran me
off. Have you recovered from that?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll see by the end of this podcast. Well, students, hey, thanks for tuning in. We wanted to just create a different forum to talk with you guys about something that Jesus cares about. And what we've been thinking through in our Sermon on the Mount series is this idea of culture. And I gave a definition a few weeks ago that just says people like us do things like this. And so Jesus is concerned and excited even about the culture of his people, of his kingdom. And he has thoughts for us on what it means to be a son and a daughter. We talk about that idea emotionally sometimes, but we want to think a little bit practically today around what do the people of God do? And for a long time, there's been a lot of work that has gone into instruction around what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so today we're going to talk about prayer and fasting. And here's what Jesus is trying to do in the Sermon on the Mount, is he is helping his people understand what it looks like to actually orient your life and your lifestyle around following him. And so that's where the idea of prayer and fasting come in. And it's not something that's going to make you extra spiritual or make you better than, right? We learned about that a couple weeks ago at Schofield. This isn't something to brag about. This is something that is going to connect you with Jesus so that you can begin to experience the blessings of being his son or his daughter. And so, Daniel, I know you have some thoughts around how Jesus does this, for as how he sets a culture for his people. So what thoughts do you have? And then we'll jump in.
Yeah, so as far as Jesus setting the stage, I've always found it fascinating that he assumes his followers are going to fast. It's not a, if it's a good idea,
right?
He equates it as a natural, common, this is a shared experience of my followers. And it obviously was different for people back then. They did not live in excess,
right,
for most of them. So they were living day to day. They were living in a way where they grew what they ate, and sometimes things didn't grow. So they were fasting, not by choice sometimes.
Right.
And yet he's saying, when you do, here are the things that happen, and that something spiritual and something that connects you to me happens when you actually go without. And I think that's very interesting, because we rarely go without. I mean, I think the last time that I was hungry, it's associated with being hangry.
Yes.
You know, and it's, yeah, I'm going to solve this problem immediately on my terms by pulling into the Golden Arches, and problem goes away.
Yeah. I have a hangry daughter. It's a daily issue for
us. I've got a couple. And so I think we're used to solving that problem. We see hunger as a problem to solve. Mm. And Jesus sees it as a means to follow him. And so I think that's just a very different approach that most Christians today don't think about.
Yeah. And so students, as you listen, we don't want to assume that you've ever fasted. Maybe you haven't. And we're not, there's no judgment there. We want to present this as an opportunity, because here's what I'm convinced of, is that there are blessings on this side of heaven when you give your life to Jesus. And there are going to be moments where it's hard and moments where it's difficult. But the psalmist talks about this idea of tasting and seeing that God is good. And so I'm excited to have Audrey and Daniel in to talk about this, because they have both tasted and seen that praying and fasting is good. Yeah. And it has filled their soul, even though it sometimes has been difficult to do. And so, Audrey, I want to start with you thinking about prayer. Why do we pray? And let me just ask it even more specifically. Why do you pray?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think we, you know, look at prayer as kind of a spiritual thing to do, especially in church culture, which, mm-hmm. you know, all of us, if we're part of Forge, part of Grace, are in to a degree. And I think it can be easy to look at prayer as something that we need to check off the list to be spiritual, or, you know, get some, I don't know, stars on our spiritual resume.
Yeah, it's a rule to follow.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to do it.
It really feels like that sometimes. But if you really think about what prayer is, I mean, it's really cool that we have access to the Almighty God, and that we can just come before him and talk to him. And we talk about, we also throw around this language of having a relationship with Jesus. I feel like that can even turn into a Christianese type term. Yep. But if you think about what a relationship is, I mean, we all have lots of relationships in our lives, and it's communication, right?
Right.
So it's talking, it's listening, it's being connected to someone and having a conversation with someone. And so if we really want to have a relationship with God, which, like I said, I mean, that's such a cool thing that we have access to do that, given who God is and how much bigger and more mighty and incredible he is than us.
Right. Access is a key point, because we do understand access. I mean, just get your phone out right now, student, and look at how many group threads you're a part of. And we don't really think about it very much, but like, our access to certain groups of people, or even specific people, that matters. And so when Jesus comes and says, I'm going to leave so the Spirit can come, which means we have access to God at all times, that's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I found it interesting that you talked about talking, listening, communing, because I think most people, when they hear praying, if you're in a group of people, it's, all right, let's pray to God. That means I'm about to talk to God. But you're describing it as a more robust thing. So talk a little bit more about, for you, what does listening in prayer look like for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not great at it, because I think it's, I mean, none of us are probably. But I think just trying to view prayer more and more like that casual conversation. So instead of it feeling like something that, you know, I have to muster up all the right words for, which Matthew 6 even kind of talks about that. Don't just be rambling on, repeating the same words, trying to be impressive to God in that sense. Just like I would have a conversation with someone else. I mean, it's constant. It's, you know, something pops into my head and I'm saying that to God. So I walk outside and it's beautiful outside. It's been cold, it's been rainy, whatever. And I'm like, God, thank you so much that it's beautiful. Warmth, I love it. You're awesome. Thanks, God, you know. Or just being like, Lord, will you please give me wisdom as I go into this conversation? And then just creating space to be still. Or, you know, he speaks to us through his word, through his people. He speaks to us through, you know, music, I think worship, lyrics, and all of that too. So filling my mind with those things are ways to be hearing from God, as just in the same way that praying scripture or singing a song are way versions of communicating back to God as well.
Mm. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Just thinking very practically here. You kind of talked about walking outside, kind of feeling the sun on your skin, that kind of being a signal to pray. But if I just said, like, when do you find yourself praying? What are moments in the day where you find yourself talking with God?
Yeah. Well, I do think prayer is our prayer life can be pretty exposing of how much we feel like we need God.
That's right.
Right? So the reality is it can be exposing of my self-reliance if I'm not really praying that much, you know, because I'm just doing my thing. But, you know, recently with our second child, there were some complications with her health medically, like when she was born, and we knew some of that was coming. And so prayer, I mean, it really shifted from being something that was just a routine thing to really a lifeline. And it was sort of walking into doctor's appointments, walking out of doctor's appointments, coming home, holding her, praying over her before we would go to sleep at night, you know, praying. When we wake up in the morning, it's the first thing on our minds. And so training our minds and our hearts to turn to God in a time of need. But then also when things are going well, I think that's where it's also just more of a spiritual discipline, right? So then like waking up and training my mind to be like, okay, let's start my day with prayer, or, you know, I'm coming up against something that feels too big for me. You know, what am I going to turn to? Am I going to turn to the Lord? Am I going to naturally turn to prayer in that moment?
Mm. So I ask this for both of y'all. It sounds like you believe that prayer works.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So how have you seen prayer work in your life?
Listen, I mean, it is so cool. Like, I mean, if you don't pray, then obviously you're not probably going to see God answer
those
prayers. That's
true. That's a fact.
But it is a biblical idea and a truth from scripture that God is going to answer prayers. And so, like I mentioned, that there were some complications for our daughter. And so, you know, we had a lot of people praying for us, you know, wrapping around us, literally physically laying hands on us before we went into the hospital praying for us. And then we got in there when I was in labor, and we just decided that we needed to start writing down when we saw God answer those prayers. I think because it's good for our hearts and our souls and our faith to not only ask God for things, but to be reminded of his faithfulness. And so my husband, Micah, he got out a notebook, and we're, you know, laying in the hospital, and he just starts writing. We start talking back and forth about what are the things that we've been praying for the last few months that we're seeing God answer. Because a lot of it was kind of coming to a head in that moment.
Yeah.
So like, praying for low blood pressure because I had blood pressure issues. And, you know, the nurse comes in and takes my blood pressure, and it's great, you know. And we're writing that down. We're like, okay, thanks, Lord.
Yeah,
praying for specific doctors to be on call. And those doctors were. And that's not always how God answers. But when you start to look for it, you start to see that he is answering regularly, constantly.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. It reveals what you're looking for. Because when you are praying, you're not making assumptions anymore. And I think it reveals what you believe about God. Because if, I mean, I'll be honest, like I have a hard time sometimes believing that my prayer impacts the Almighty. It's like, he's good. He's got the world under control. Who am I to invoke a response from him? And I downplay what my role should be in praying for my family, for our church, for my friends. And yet there is evidence all over the scriptures where Moses cries out to God. And it says that in Exodus, God changes his mind and actually spares people. And it's like, well, hang on. Thought our God was an unchanging God. But I think it teaches us God actually responds to the prayers of his people.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, James 5:16, we're studying the book of James as a church. I've been trying to work on my scripture memory, so I may mess this up a little bit. But, I mean, James 5:16 talks about, therefore, confess your sin and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And then it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
Produces wonderful results.
Right. And so, for me, one thing I've learned about prayer over the years is just to expect that it works. Like God is with us. He may not answer it like we want to, but the idea you talked about of even journaling and writing down when God shows up. I was talking to a guy the other day about prayer. He said, yeah, there was this one person who, I think it was his family member. And he said, you know, I've had a lot of people over the years say they were going to pray for me. He said, but she's the only one that when I told her to pray for something, in 2 weeks, she would text me and be like, hey, what happened with the job? And he said, over time, I realized the reason she kept reaching out was because she was expecting God to answered the prayer.
Yeah. She was actually praying.
She was actually praying. Yeah. And so I think, you know, praying constantly, praying with expectation and paying attention to watch God move, that's a different take on prayer than I'm about to eat this meal. Right. I'm going to bless it up.
Yeah. Turn it into a carrot on the way down, God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is something that's helpful for our students, hopefully. I mean, we are all part of small groups in different versions and ways, and it's such a routine part of small group to pray as we open, pray as we close, you know, take up prayer requests at the end, be like, all right, we'll be praying for that this week, you know. And I mean, I've been guilty of being in those settings and then not, you know, and
that's
then
right.
I'm not really expecting, my faith is weak, it's not growing because I'm not really exercising that prayer muscle and the faith it requires to see God move, expect
That's
him to
right.
move, like you're saying. But when you're in that place of being real vulnerable, and when you do hit a really hard time, then when someone says, oh, I'm going to be praying for you about that, then it's like, I hope so. I really need it. It
I
hits
it.
Different, you know?
Right.
That's right.
Well, and to your point about it exposes what we think about God. If we think about God as our Father, I mean, when my daughters come to me and ask for something, they're not always going to get what they're asking for. But I'm paying attention.
That's right.
I'm considerate, you know? And I think if we think about God as this far off being, mm-hmm. then prayer probably doesn't make a lot of sense. But if you think about God as a Father who sent his son to be killed so that y'all could talk every day, well, then he probably wants to know what you think about and what you're concerned about.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Because I remember prayer for me changed my senior year of college. I remember being with a group of two guys and saying, let's go on the hook for each other in prayer.
Mm.
And so we had these old school Casio watches that you could set to beep every hour.
Mm.
But I remember we said, hey, when our watches beep, let's pray for each other all at the same time, even though we're going to be in different classes doing different things. And at the end of that day, it was crazy. Like, all of us came back together at our house, and God had answered very specific prayers in almost strange ways. And we were like, oh, there actually is something to this prayer thing that we've heard about our whole life, but we have actually not been faithful to advocate to the Father for one another. And so I think viewing it as this has real implications versus, oh, this is just a transition, or this is how we end our small group.
Right.
There actually is a necessity. My soul needs this.
Right.
And I think that changes things.
That's great. And hopefully that is a reframing of prayer for you, because I would imagine each of you listening have some form of a prayer life. And so hopefully that gives you another thing to consider and hopefully adds to your thought. But moving on to fasting, this may be something that none of us have ever done. And I think it is something that Jesus cares about, something that Jesus did a lot of. And I would love for you, Daniel, to help us think through fasting. And so let me just start big picture like we did with Audrey. Why do we fast?
I would say because we all have appetites.
Mm.
And when I think about an appetite, well, first of all, I love food. I love to cook food. I love to eat food even more. Food is an important part of my life. I think about it a lot. Like right now, I'm daydreaming about what I want for dinner. Like, it's just a very natural thing for me. It's a end to the day. I like to try new restaurants, new recipes. And I think in our appetites can be good and bad.
Mm.
And if we recognize that our appetites can be a really good thing, but they are prone to be a bad thing, then we actually have work to do to control them. Mm-hmm. And we have appetites for all sorts of things. We have different sin appetites, different things that we're drawn to. We have different food appetites. There's food that Audrey, you, and Blake like that I probably don't like, and vice versa. And then there's also entertainment appetites. You know, there's all these different things that we crave and desire and want. And I think that as we consider Jesus saying, actually, when you fast, and his calling on us to pick up our cross and follow him and to suffer into hard things, is actually good for us to go without having everything that we could have. And so instead of always viewing my life as what can I consume, it's good to say, I could have this, but it's good for me not to. And so that, I think, is one of what's at stake for us, is that we have appetites that are out of control for most of us. And when I was in high school, I wasn't thinking at all about, I need to be mindful of what I'm consuming. I was like, no, I'm listening to whatever music I want to listen to. I don't care the language or what's being inferred. I don't care what movie I'm watching. I consume what I want, and I'm good because I'm a follower of Jesus, so I'm free. And that actually I don't think is what Jesus has in mind at all.
So you're saying we are intentionally starving ourselves from our appetite.
Yep.
So let me ask, when you think about fasting for you,
yep,
what has happened when you've intentionally starved yourself in an effort to, well, let me just start there. What's happened when you've intentionally starved yourself? What have you learned?
Yep. I've learned that, I actually pray differently when I'm fasting. I actually, my desires for the things of this world change, and it's, for me, almost a refocusing. It's a reminder of what really matters when I take something off the table. And also want to be clear, I think what Jesus is talking about when he says fasting, I think a lot of times we say, oh, I'm fasting from social media, or I'm fasting from sugar. I think Jesus is talking about fasting from food.
Yeah.
And abstinence from things is a different thing. So I just want to make that distinction that, okay, so when I'm going without food for a season of time, when I first do it, I'll start to have irrational thoughts. It doesn't feel good. I don't like it.
Right.
I'm hangry again, you know? And I'll start to think about, okay, when is my fast over? So once I actually get through, and that can last a couple hours, it can last longer than that, depending on really how my soul is.
Yeah.
Once I'm through that, I actually start having godly thoughts. And it's strange how certain people will come to my mind when I'm fasting. And I'm like, you know, I need to reach out to that. I haven't talked to them in a while. And inevitably, I'll reach out and they will say, I can't believe you're reaching out right now. And it's almost a way in which the Spirit of God, I think, removes all the distractions and helps me focus in on, okay, God, what do you have for me? I think asking that question, God, what do you have for me? What do you want for me? Is different when you are hungry. Because you have a craving, and you're asking God to fill that craving, not the things of the world, even if it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus is clear. He actually says that the way you get into the kingdom is through self-denial.
Yeah.
Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. So it would be on brand for Jesus to say that not only do you get the blessing of entering the kingdom by self-denial, but I have more for you through ongoing self-denial, things like fasting. And I think what I hear you saying is fasting is a way for us to create space that God can fill.
Yeah, that's right.
That he can speak to us, that we can be reminded of our need to pray. And so let me ask you this, Daniel, as simply as you can give it to me, what would you tell me to do if I'm like, all right, I'm going to go try it? How would you tell me to try fasting?
I would say start small, in the same way that Audrey, you're 7-week-old, eventually is going to start rolling over. They roll over before they start crawling. And then they crawl before they walk. They walk before they run. I would just say it doesn't make sense for a student or somebody, if you've never done this before, to say, you know what? I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going 40 days. You're not ready for that, nor is God asking you to do that. I would say whatever your rhythm with food is, if you are a breakfast person, I would say wake up in the morning as if you're going to eat breakfast, and in the time you normally get your cereal out, pour the milk, go into a room, and just say, God, instead of having what I normally would have, I want to listen to you right now. Would you speak to me? And then when lunchtime comes at school or whatever, break your fast. You're replacing your normal rhythm with, I am breaking what I normally do without thinking, to be intentional, to bring God's awareness to where my mind actually is aware of what he wants for me. So start small and do it. And then to Audrey's point earlier, journal what God revealed, if he revealed anything. And he might not. You might just be like, man, that was a hungry morning. I didn't like that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, this has all been super helpful. I'm sure we could talk forever. I just want to leave us with one thought. And of course, if you have questions, talk to your group leaders, talk to your student directors, talk to your parents, whoever's in your spiritual community about this. But I do want to leave us with one thought as we send you to go consider praying and fasting. Scofield taught out of Matthew a couple weeks ago, and he talked about the idea when Jesus is like, if you go blow your trumpets and you get the reward of the people, then that's all the reward that you'll get. But if you do it in faith, then God has another reward for you, a greater reward. And I want to encourage you, as you think about going and praying and fasting, do not do this for the Instagram post. If so, that's all the reward you will ever get. And it'll be short, and it'll be cheap, and it'll be not worth it, and you will never fast again. But if you fast in faith, and you keep it a secret, the good kind of secret, and you let God bless you and reward you, it'll be richer than you can imagine. So I just want to leave you with that. We're not trying to give you something to go garner all of this praise from people. God is trying to reward you himself. And so we got to do this in faith. And so, hey, we love y'all. We're grateful for y'all listening. And we're excited and hopeful that as y'all continue to follow Jesus, that you will experience the reward he has for you.